Welcome to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast, where the cross and the culture are on a collision course for discussion.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified.
Now, the world around us views advancement in civilization in terms of technology. They seem to completely disregard the increase in moral deficiency and lack of quality in education. They point to technological advancements as proof that man is somehow evolving into this wonderfully accomplished creature. As Bible-believing Christians, we tend to be thorns in the world's side by way of introducing sobriety to various conversations. Our inability to simply join the crowd and praise man's accomplishments frustrates them, but there are valid concerns regarding technological advancements, thereby causing us to come along in a slow and cautious manner. I've often heard you lament the current state of radio preaching, and you've spoken about it briefly already, but just in Central Florida, I know there are pockets of radio preaching where it's still thriving, still doing well. Middle Tennessee, Kentucky, you know, there South Carolina, there are areas where it's still doing well. How's it going in Florida?
Okay, they're doing well compared to other parts of America.
Sure.
Let's take the world and then we'll back up and go to the church.
Okay.
When the Fox News people brag, we have the top-rated show. Last night we had 3 million viewers.
Sure.
That means they didn't have 327 million viewers.
Right.
Okay.
So it's all a matter of perspective.
It is.
You know?
It is. So the top-rated news program isn't touching
what everybody else is doing.
But 1% of the country.
Sure.
Nobody's listening.
Sure.
To their conservative voice, if you want to call
it.
Okay. So the most influential Christian radio station that's reaching Nashville, thank God it's there. Mm-hmm. Nashville's not listening.
Sure.
Some Christians in Nashville are glad to listen. The top rated Christian station in Greenville, praise the Lord, we're on it. Mm-hmm. We get a letter every couple of weeks.
Wow.
Which is more than we get from other stations.
Sure.
But Greenville, South Carolina is not listening to Christian radio.
Right.
There's just enough Christians there to have a good Christian radio station. So I don't see any ministry having an influence other than total anti-biblical outfits like Joel Osteen or Rick Warren,
right,
or Joyce Meyer,
right,
the people that are having a national voice are not a voice for biblical Christianity.
Sure.
Now, when you reduce that down to say Central Florida, the last Christian station in Central Florida was WTLN. They were the conservative fundamental station from the 60s up until the 20-teens.
Okay.
They went secular talk radio.
Where were they located?
Last year, Orlando. So there's a couple of conservative preachers on the station here in DeLand. So if you have a radio, AM, FM, and you drive from Tampa to Daytona, start in the morning, and then just drive back and forth all day long, on one station you might hear two fundamental preachers all day long on the radio.
Sure.
It's just gone. The big station in Orlando that's supposed to be Christian is not, they don't call themselves a Christian station. They call themselves a positive station.
Sure.
And it's all contemporary Christian music all day, no preaching.
Right.
So that's where we are. I mean, I thank the Lord for, the fundamental Baptist network and the independent church-owned stations and even a few secular stations that still have Christian programming on it. But Christian radio as a medium of reaching and influencing America,
right,
that's gone.
Right.
That's gone.
So from here on out, how are you planning and preparing? Are you planning and preparing to exit that medium? Or I know it's kind of near and dear to your heart.
We're still on, man, I'd have to look. We're probably still on 15 to 20 stations.
Okay. And that is the preaching of the cross, this is the radio program.
Full 30-minute program. We're still doing it. Most of those stations, the station carries our program because they want the program on their station. We're not paying for the airtime.
Sure.
If we had to pay for the airtime, we probably wouldn't be on the station because it generates no response.
Wow.
There might be people listening, but we don't know that.
Sure.
The one plus to broadcasting on the internet as opposed to broadcasting on the radio is you have verifiable numbers,
sure,
to determine who's listening and who's not listening that you can't get with radio. We've never asked for money on the radio or anywhere else. So whether or not we could fund a radio program by soliciting donations, I don't know because we've never done it.
Right.
But if we had to stay on any station based on the listener contributions, we've never been on any of them for 2 weeks.
Sure.
It just doesn't happen.
With the videos that you're recording online, and again, we're going to get into some of that. Do you see that as eventually being the future of the Preaching of the Cross program? Are you viewing it in that way, or are you just recording videos to teach through the Bible and put online? And by that, I mean not the preaching from the pulpit necessarily, but the extra videos like you've been doing, like from the Book of Revelation.
What I'm trying to do with topics that, for example, we're teaching through Revelation, it's way too extensive to make that your radio program. Mm-hmm. But when I'm on topics that I think would have an appeal to a larger audience,
right,
I'm trying to make those videos the same length as a radio program.
Okay.
So we can do the audio and the video.
Sure.
The thing of it is, there's not an open door for radio. The church-owned stations are broadcasting people who, and I'm not being critical.
Sure.
They're broadcasting people their pastor trusts.
Right.
That is rarely me.
Right.
And I'm not saying they don't trust me. They don't know me.
Right.
The Fundamental Baptist Network, I've had several meetings with them. Many of their pastors don't agree with me on something, so they don't want to put me on their network because it's a pastor's network and they all get along with it. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying the day when you could just contact these hundreds of Christian stations and buy a spot, those days are gone. The stations that are still somewhat Christian are all owned by one or two brokers. And like we tried to get the Gospel Hour on the DeLand station.
Mm-hmm.
The broker who owns the rights to the Gospel Hour has an exclusive contract with another station in Central Florida that doesn't even play the program anymore, that nobody else in Central Florida can play it. So it's not like you can't just go out and get on the radio.
Right.
So that's gone.
It's become so bureaucratic that
you got to know somebody, and we don't know those people.
Sure.
And, well, and there's a lot of you have to have money.
Sure.
You got to have money to run a church. You got to have money to run a radio station. We don't have the money to pour into radio because missionaries have proven a better investment than radio. So it's, and we're not anti-radio, it's just kind of, in 90, no, this is before we came over here, probably 86 or 87, Brian Tolby owned WCCZ in New Smyrna.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the station we were on weekly, got to know him, and he told me one day, there in the lobby, and he said, it's too bad you didn't start sooner. He said, you're really good at this, but AM radio is going to go the way of the passenger railroad.
Sure.
He said it'll still be there.
Right.
But it won't be the choice for transportation.
Sure.
It won't be the – and he basically – I mean, that was kind of him as a lifelong radio guy saying, you got a real short shelf life here.
Well, that,
you better get into something else.
So that's the case now with – almost every medium that I grew up with and that you grew up with and saw developed over the years, radio, people don't really listen to the radio anymore. They have satellite radio. Mm-hmm. And then they went from satellite radio to now you have your phone. And then people aren't watching television anymore. They're watching YouTube. They're watching Netflix.
Right.
They're watching, it's all online. Everything, even the normal interaction that we're used to dealing with in terms of trying to, you know, you tell people stay away from your television. It's going to harm you. It's not helpful. Well, okay, they'll stay away from it now. They're just going
to have a small screen.
Yeah,
small screen in their hand.
And so, in terms of what you were just talking about, and in light of all of that, when you've come to the realization it's run its course, what do you do from there? Should you, or do we have the responsibility to pursue these other outlets?
Okay, so here's where we are. People very critically ask, why is your website, jamesknox.org, not Bible Baptist Church?
Right.
By the time I finally gave in and allowed our church to get a website, all the names were gone. All the domains were taken. There was nothing left.
Right.
Because I didn't want to go website. And I'll tell you why in a minute. We were way, way late to website. We were way, way late to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. I'll explain to you best I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1982 and a young man gets saved and he starts going to church and a guy in his church says, well, you want something to listen to during the week? Here's a sermon on cassette by a guy named James Knox. Mm-hmm. You'll get a blessing. The guy listens to it. He says, wow, how can I get some more of them? You write to that church. That church will mail you a catalog.
Mm-hmm.
You send your order to that church. That church will send you cassette tapes. There is nothing we're doing that puts that young Christian at risk.
Right.
Now, let's go back to 1982, and the guy says, wow, this cassette is really good. I want some more. Where do I get it? Well, across town, there's this place. It's a really interesting place.
Yeah.
One side of it is a bar. The other side of it is a strip club.
Right.
And primarily, it's a place that sells pornographic movies and magazines. If you'll go in there, James Knox is in there and he'll give you a cassette.
Yeah.
Nobody would have sent anybody into a porno nightclub bar to get cassette tapes to hear preaching.
Sure.
What we're doing now, and I hate it, what we're doing now is we're sending people to the internet to get preaching. And the internet is every vile and filthy thing invented since Adam left the garden.
Sure.
At the push of a button.
Right.
And for a young Christian or a weak believer or a teenager anywhere in the world to hear me preach, they got to go to a porn shop.
Right.
They've got to go to a sewer. Mm-hmm. And in order for me to make my preaching available, I have to put everyone who wants that preaching at risk.
Well, let me.
I mean, that's how I view it. Sure, I don't know if anybody else sees it that way.
That's definitely a very valid, and I think that's part of the reason for the hesitation and the debate and the cautiousness.
It's so dangerous.
But let me present it from the other side of the coin. Everybody's already on the internet. Why should there not be preaching for them to stumble upon?
I understand that argument. I'm just not comfortable with, well, every kid in town eventually is going to go buy a dirty magazine. Why don't we have a booth in the dirty magazine store? I mean, it's just for some reason, it's like all the rules that used to apply don't apply when it's the internet.
Sure.
And it's
because it's become such a major functional.
And here's why it's even more dangerous in my thinking.
Sure.
Not you and not me, but back in the day when to see dirty pictures, you had to go buy a magazine.
Right.
It took a lot of guts for a 16-year-old kid to walk in that store, have to face a clerk, hope they were going to let the kid buy the magazine,
right,
put a week's worth of lunch money on the counter. There was a lot involved in seeing a dirty picture.
Sure.
So it wasn't easy. This internet, nobody knows what you're looking at.
Right.
Nobody's going to catch you looking at it.
Right.
There's not any shame. There's not any embarrassment. There's not any cost. It is the greatest thing Satan ever invented.
It's unbridled.
It is. And there's little or no consequences.
Right.
There's just the part of me that hates being part of that.
Sure.
And yet, here's the justification.
Yeah.
and it has to be justification.
Sure.
Satan's seat was in Sardis.
Okay.
Somebody went there and built a church. God hates Babylon. Peter wrote a letter and said, I'm here in Babylon.
Yeah.
So the gospel has always gone to Athens and to Rome and to Corinth. And it just seems to me that today people don't live in a town. They live in their phone.
Sure.
Their world is not buildings and roads and real people. It's Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff and then look, I'm like the guy you were talking about that, you know, do you have a DVD? Cause I honestly don't know what an influencer is. I keep hearing that he's an influencer. I don't even know what that is.
Sure.
So are you on social media? What's social about not being with anybody?
Absolutely.
So I don't even honestly, I'm not trying to be funny. I don't even know what these terms mean. You sent me some sample questions and there were some words I was going to ask you about. I've never seen those words. I don't know what they are. So you kind of feel like how Elijah must have felt when he had to walk into Jerusalem after it becomes Sodom and a vile, wicked place. And God, do I have to go down there to preach to those people? The prophets got defiled by their interaction with the city.
Sure.
Now I feel like we're defiling our ministries by establishing them in the city, but I don't know how else you reach the people.
Yeah.
In high crime areas, we still knock on doors. People aren't letting you in their house.
Right.
We still preach on the street. We're in Florida. Everybody's in a car. They're not walking. There's no pedestrian traffic. We're doing it because it's in the Bible. We're not reaching people.
Sure.
I mean, very, very rarely. So, we're going to knock on doors. We're going to preach on the street. We're going to give out gospel tracts. We give out tens of thousands of them still.
Sure.
I can't remember the last time somebody called or came to church because they got a tract.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still doing it, but it just seems like if you're going to reach people, you got to go where they live, and they live on that phone, man. They live on that internet.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like our website is like renting a booth in a porn shop.
Wow.
That's what I feel like. It's like, I know you're coming here anyway, so here we are. And take one of these while you're taking all of those. It's just, because that's what the internet is. It's just a sewer.
Well, the internet certainly has access to that. You know, I think oftentimes I'm still naive to some of these things. I don't visit porn sites, and I know how to control my internet access to an extent that I don't get advertised porn sites. Part of all the tracking that Google does and that Microsoft does that freaks everybody out is meant for them to be able to display to you across the web the things that you would be interested in. Mm-hmm. It's in their interest to keep you online. So the things that get displayed to me are technology and preaching and, you know, things that I'm interested in. And so
all I'm saying.
Sure.
20 years ago, you're sitting in your house and you think, just the devil just puts this thought in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go to a strip club, there's a lot involved in going to a strip club.
Right.
Today, you're sitting in your apartment. You're a 19-year-old kid, and Satan puts it in your heart, why don't you look at some naked women? You don't have to go anywhere. No cover charge. No.
Absolutely.
No security cameras. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a very, very
dangerous
medium that we've kind of been forced to be a part of because that's where the people are that we're trying to reach.
Yes, sir.
And everybody that's trying to reach people with a false gospel or with lies is there.
They're there. Yeah.
So,
and they don't mind being there.
They don't mind being there, and they got there first. They use the technology.
Well established.
They're well established. They're way ahead of us. They're way ahead of us.
Now, the idea or the incident, I guess you could say, that sort of got us here and sparked the little bit of interest that you have in being online was, from what I remember, when you were back in Australia. If I remember this correctly, you were on a boat out in the water and heard the Bible Baptist live stream all the way from Australia, and it really had a big impact on you.
We're in real time.
Right.
And we weren't skipping church because we were a day ahead.
So
I'm going out to dive on the Great Barrier Reef,
right,
and I'm watching a church service in the Bible Baptist Church in DeLand. I mean, if I could ever retire, it couldn't be any better than that right there.
Amen.
So there it was. But then as part of that trip, we went to a city of 2 million people,
right,
with not one King James Bible of the church in it. We went to Sydney, Australia, with millions and millions and millions of people. There's maybe 3 or 4 places you could go to church there and hear the King James Bible preached. So you realize there's millions and millions and millions and millions of people in the world. You're not causing that problem we talked about earlier. I'm not setting up a competition between me and your pastor.
Right.
There is no pastor.
Right. Right.
There is nobody there starting a church. And there's tens of thousands of cities and towns and villages all over the world that aren't going to have a missionary this year or next year or the year after. So if we can, at virtually no cost, reach everybody in the world with the gospel and Bible teaching, you know, you weigh that risk and.
Right, right.
So to take your side of it, it's not like they're only going to get the internet if I go on it.
Right.
They've already got the internet.
Absolutely.
It's not like they're only going to be online because they found out Brother James is preaching online. Now it's safe. So since people herding cattle in some desolate outpost in Africa have a cell phone, with internet access.
Absolutely.
It's mind-boggling.
They do.
Wouldn't it be nice if they could hear Bible preaching and true Bible preaching?
Sure.
So we've consented, and we're trying to figure out a way to do the best we can with
it.
It doesn't take away my concerns.
Sure. And I think the concerns are valid. But in a day and age where I could probably name five good brothers, Bible-believing Christians, they got saved through some interaction with listening to preaching online, including myself. I got saved sitting in Saudi Arabia listening to Adrian Rogers preach online.
Where you couldn't have a church.
Right. Through various interactions there with people, God sparked something in my heart that said, man, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you in trouble and on your way to hell, you're sitting in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I can't, I wanted so badly to go talk to a preacher and never had that desire before, but had absolutely no access to one except for the internet. And I guess to some extent, when you think about the fact that, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, how much time people live online. Why would we not? To me, it's like making a gospel tract available as you're walking around everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying we should disregard the extreme dangers, but people are not leaving the internet. More and more of like your refrigerator is on the internet now, if you want it to be.
Yeah.
Your stove can be connected to the internet now if you want it to be. And from miles away, you could turn it on, set the oven, and then be preheated by the time you get home if you want to. It just seems almost as though we have a responsibility to make it available.
I've given in. I'm still not so sure I'm happy about it, but
sure.
I've given in. Now, here's another thing about it that I don't like, and I'll go to the world and then bring it in the church.
Okay.
In the 1960s, 1970s, from a purely secular standpoint, you had some extremely talented musicians and some extremely gifted singers who produced the popular music of the world.
Right.
And most of them were not much to look at. But nobody was looking at them.
Right.
A rare TV appearance.
Sure.
But it's an audible communication. It's music. Along comes MTV, and now you don't have to have talent. We'll get somebody else to play the music.
Right.
You don't have to be able to sing. You can lip sync. In the studio, we'll auto-tune you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're beautiful, if you're cute, you get to make the music. So the talent's gone out of it. The talent people aren't seen. So what we've done, to me, I resent that I have to make a video for you to listen to the preaching.
Right.
It just bothers me that we've brought this visual
aspect to it.
Into faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now people that are looking for preaching also have to have somebody that they want to look at for 40 minutes. He's got to either be handsome, or he's got to be stylish, or he's got to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It adds
4K or 1080p.
It adds a carnal dynamic to it. That's another one of the things that I don't like about it.
Right.
Because you know what the Bible says, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, not many handsome are called.
That's true.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So to
piggyback on what you're just talking about, as we've traveled on Deputation, I have been grieved at times by this move for pastors with their hair spiked and skinny jeans on, and this move to this effeminate contemporary, trying to keep up with the styles of the day.
Not just that, brother. We've got to have the guy. I can't be standing there preaching. We've got to have the audio visuals. I got to have pictures behind me, and I've got to have, little. And I'm not, I'm not criticizing it. What we're doing is we're appealing to these people that grew up watching cartoons that have no attention span. And so now it's not just a sermon. I have to have a sermon plus pictures plus lights plus, you know, little pop-ups on the screen to keep your attention. And
And YouTube has found a number of ways to exemplify that. They understand that that's the mindset.
I get it. And I'm not, again, so I'm just an old guy who doesn't like what I'm being forced to do. It's like I got to have jugglers and clowns to keep the audience.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
And it's,
we've kind of hammered this nail to death, but, why were you so cautious about placing a more focused effort in the first place on having your sermons readily available online, even up until the point that you decided to place more of an emphasis on the YouTube preaching? You had really scaled back the amount of just the MP3 files you were making available online. And I know that some people were taking them and making them, you know, in an unethical fashion available in other places and things like that. But is it all just wrapped up in the fact that you were, your distaste for the internet, or
no,
you know,
the,
why were you so?
No, the, I think the main thing is what I touched on earlier. It has created a competition,
right,
among preachers. It's created a mindset among church members. Come on, let's be honest. Up until radio. So we're talking about 1900 plus years of church history.
Mm-hmm.
The only preacher you ever heard is the one in your town.
Right.
And it might have been a big deal once a year to have a visiting preacher come in for a revival.
Sure.
So for all you knew, your pastor was as good as anybody.
Yeah.
For all you knew, your preacher was as good a preacher, as good a Bible student as there was anywhere in the world.
Sure.
What Christian radio allowed was for everybody to enjoy the two or three dozen best preachers in America. Well, that's a blessing. But it's not necessarily a blessing to everybody's pastor.
Right.
Because now he's got to compete for your respect, mm-hmm, with somebody who has much different gifts than him.
Right.
It's not fair.
Right.
So that got narrowed down with cassettes. Now it's opened up again with the internet. Now anybody and everybody can put their stuff on the internet, mm-hmm, and everybody in the world can see it.
Right.
But what that allows, it allows the guy in Topeka, Kansas to search until he finds his two or three favorite preachers.
Right.
And now his pastor has to stack up next to this guy's two or three favorite preachers and everybody in his church who's interested in hearing preaching has found their two or three favorite preachers. And he's probably not anybody's favorite preacher because he's just a guy trying to pastor a church in Topeka.
Right.
So it's caused, I think, a great decline in respect for the guy that's just hammering out three sermons a week and it's hard for him to do,
mm-hmm,
and making hospital visits and knocking on doors and maintaining a prayer time.
He's really involved in people's lives.
Yeah, he's got to compete with somebody who does nothing but goes to his studio and delivers his internet message of the week or on his tractor
right,
and his, the front seat of his car or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's impossible for pastors to compete with that.
Sure.
Here's what we bring to the table. I have extensive training in study, book study. I got a degree in journalism, a degree in English. I used to criticize it. Now I thank God for it. I've had extensive training in studying.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a gift. My gift is reading, comprehending, making sense of it and communicating that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. It doesn't make me better than anybody. That's my thing.
Sure.
I have been blessed to pastor a church full of people who let me do my thing.
Right.
And encourage me to do my thing while I encourage them to do their thing.
Right.
So on top of that, I've been preaching 40 years. Mm-hmm. The last 15 years or so, I've preached 500 or 600 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say this to you, and I'm scared because I should be better at this than almost anybody alive. Mm-hmm. I should be better prepared to do this than almost anybody who's pastoring.
Right.
So it's not fair to the guy who just got out of Bible school and is 2 years into pastoring his first church,
right,
that the people in his church are comparing his Sunday sermon to mine.
Sure.
It's not fair,
right,
but it's there. And it's just inherently part of the problem that's created here.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how many times I say on the internet, I'm not a substitute for your pastor, and watching these videos is not a substitute for going to church. It's going to become one. More and more people are going to drop out of church to watch their favorite guy on the internet.
Right.
And it's going to kill or further kill Christianity in America, because God didn't build an internet ministry. He built a church.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the other negative with it. And I told you because I'm so concerned about this. There are guys on the internet who have never proven themselves and don't have to prove themselves.
Sure.
They're in a basement or a studio, and they've got the right backdrop, and they've got the right lighting, and they've got the right equipment, and they have the same instant credibility that I do,
mm-hmm,
because there they are on the internet.
Sure.
They don't have to build a church. They don't have to win souls. They don't have to keep people coming to church.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to have any character. They don't have to have any Christian life. Nobody knows who they are.
Right.
Nobody knows a thing about them. The guy could be a total loser. He could be a total reprobate with a talent and a gift to tie current world events to some Bible verses. And he's got the same credibility on the internet,
right,
that a guy who's pastored for 30 years has. That's not good.
Right.
It's not good. But you can't do away with it.
Right.
So it gives everybody a voice. It gives everybody access to the world. And you want what? Let me get through all the negatives, and then you can ask me some stuff.
No,
you're
pull
good. Out some positives.
You're good.
All right. So I preached on the radio in 1995 on 20 stations, and I preach a sermon on Jezebel. And I say, Jezebel's got a big mouth, and Jezebel's painting her face, and Jezebel's running Ahab. And a bunch of people don't like it.
Right.
You know what they've got to do if they don't like it, to let me know they don't like it? They have to write a letter.
Sure.
Put in an envelope.
Yeah.
Put a stamp on it and mail it.
Right. Which few will do.
And if they do, the only person who ever sees their complaint is me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not halfway through a sermon, and every Yahoo in the world is using my YouTube spot,
right,
for his forum to type in his disagreements and his arguments and his view. I'm giving the world an open door to criticize the preaching of the Word of God while it's going on.
Right.
And I ask our guys, why don't we close the comments? Because the more comments you get, the more it drives the channel and the more people watch. And I'm like, I am giving space for people to write heresy.
Right.
while I'm preaching. So more people listen to me. So listen, here's an example. And I try not to look at it because it just makes me angry.
Sure.
So here's a sermon online, and this sermon is on Christians dealing with suffering.
Yeah.
Comment number one, thanks for this, I was suffering. Comment number two, this was a real blessing. Comment number three, this really helped my heart. Comment number four, if I found out my daughter was a homosexual, what do you think Jesus would have me say to her? It has nothing to do with the sermon. It's bait. It's somebody trying to start an anti-Christian argument.
Sure.
So you know what follows it? 10 Christians telling this person
from all different backgrounds
wrong answers. Yeah. Nobody is commenting on behalf of Jesus Christ and right. telling the truth.
Right.
And I'm looking at this and I'm infuriated. I'm like, this is under my sermon.
Yeah.
Get this stuff off of there.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not criticizing them, but all our guys tell me, preacher, you just got to ignore it because the more of that stuff that's on there, the more people are going to watch your sermons. And that's what we want is people watching your sermons. I'm sorry. I just, there's just a whole lot of this that.
It is. It's difficult. Now, and that's one of my frustrations with social media and why I stay, you know, so Kristen and I, we have a rule. We limit social media use to 10 minutes a day.
Okay.
That's it. Because I'll go on there and I'll see a question. Maybe the person's sincere. Maybe they really want mm-hmm. to know the answer to some great Bible question or they're really just trying to get an answer to something that might be pertinent to them. You know, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
I get excited and I go to the comments to give them an answer. And there's 1,000 answers from people from all over the world,
yes.
from wildly different backgrounds.
Yes.
And even if I did post something truthful there, it'd be attacked by the other 1,000 people
right.
in the comments.
Right.
And the person that needs to see it, that asked the question, would never see it because it's buried in all that garbage.
Yeah.
And
okay. I'll give an example.
Yeah.
So we're the church is shut down. Because of the COVID corona, the TDS virus
right.
that's going around. And so we're live streaming church service and there's a thing called, saying this like you don't know.
Sure.
I didn't know this. There's a live chat.
Right.
So while the preacher's preaching, the people who are watching on the internet are talking to each other. Would that happen in church?
No.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, good to see you.
Right.
It's not church.
Right.
It's not a substitute for
it's
church.
Not, not at all.
So while the live chat is going on and I'm preaching, some guy types in, I don't agree with this.
Right.
Nobody's going to stand up in church and say, I don't agree with this. And when he does, 10 people aren't going to start a conversation with him
right.
about why he should agree with it. It's not church.
Right.
So when people say, well, we don't have good church to go to, we just do church online. It's not church.
Right.
And you might get dressed up the first 2 or 3 Sundays like you're going to church. That ain't going to last.
Sure.
It's going to be pajamas, and then it's going to be pajamas while you eat cereal, and then it's going to be we're in and out of the kitchen. I'm glad we can put the gospel out on the internet.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot about it that I'm just not.
There is a lot about it that is problematic, and I don't know that at the moment there's a valid solution to them.
There isn't. Okay, so let's do the shut-in.
Yeah.
Let's do the person that's homesick. What we did for decades was someone during the week
go visit them,
took them a copy of the sermons from Sunday on cassette or CD
right.
personally.
Sure.
So they still got the sermon, but they also got a visit.
Right.
Well, now, again, it's we're taking the personal part out of it.
Absolutely.
I don't need to go visit the guy in the nursing home.
Send him a link.
He can watch it online, and I can put a little emoji on there with my hand waving. I bet an 85-year-old guy in the nursing home, let's see, I have a choice, a personal visit from a friend or a picture of a hand waving. Come on. It's like.
Sure. Well, with all that being said.
Let's go positive, please. I need to get a little positivity here.
Now a few years into a more focused online effort,
yes.
Has it been helpful to the Bible Baptist Church?
No. I don't know. It hasn't. I don't see that it's been helpful to our church.
Okay.
I think it has allowed our church to have one more avenue to help others.
Sure.
That's what I would say. Our church wants to reach the whole world with the gospel. And you're a missionary. We've got several missionaries from our church. We support missionaries. We're all for missionaries. The money that I spend to support one missionary in one town, that same money spent on the internet can reach everybody in the world. That's the theory.
Sure.
And that's the possibility. But the fact is that one missionary can actually do evangelistic work that is calculable and verifiable and biblical.
Right.
And so I get 7,000 clicks from people who watched a sermon on last week. I don't know if anybody was paying attention. I don't know if anybody was listening. I don't know if anybody got saved. So it's an opportunity.
Still no substitution for boots on the ground.
It's not. It's not.
But it is like a virtual gospel tract.
I was just going to say that. I think sermons on YouTube are like handing out tracts. Most of them are just going to fall on the ground. Some of them are going to get read, and there will be some fruit from it that you can't really measure.
Well,
and I think internet preaching is the same way.
Sure. So in light of COVID-19 and the, at least to date, request to stay home and quarantine and social distance, has the live stream and having that access to the live stream, would you say it has been a blessing through this? Does it further add to your frustrations through this? Or what is your...
Okay. Up until this point, it has been a great blessing to make the church services available by live stream or by through the internet. It's been a great blessing. My concern with closing was that there would be people we would never see again if it was church was closed for any length of time. You already see that with a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
The very people you're concerned about not coming back to church, if they're not coming to church when it's in their living room,
right.
My fear is, yes, the live streaming is a good bridge for the people who are devoted. But it doesn't really provide anything for the people who aren't devoted, and that's why I say I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Sure.
But there could be a whole lot of people that are finding out these past few weeks, wow, this is nice.
Being home on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, I can watch church anytime I feel like it. I don't have to do it at a certain time. I don't have to get the kids dressed.
Sure.
There's no pressure on me to sing or to give or
I will say in light of that though, we did have that meeting in North Carolina, you know, through all the shutdown. It was so nice and so refreshing being in church, singing hymns together. And
yeah,
you know, the preaching wasn't that great because I preached that morning, but it does not. Being at home with Kristen and I, just watching on a screen, it is not a substitute at all.
Well, but, I mean, here's what you got to think about. There are great Christian people in our church that I love dearly who just are thrilled with the idea of going out to restaurants and trying new foods.
Right.
Okay?
They
love it. They love it. There's probably four restaurants in DeLand I've been to in 30 years because I know what I'm going to get.
Right.
And it's safe and it's quick and I can get back to doing what I want to do. It's just not something I'm interested in. If I can grab food on the way home and not even take it home, just eat it before I get home.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because eating at a restaurant to me is not a big deal.
Right.
Okay, so I think there's a lot of people who are saved and maybe even love the Lord who really don't care all that much about going to church. Mm-hmm. It's not that big a deal to them.
Sure.
The fellowship's not a big deal. The outreach is not a big deal. They go to church because it's something they're supposed to do, and they picked our church or whatever church because that preacher appeals to them.
Right.
But you know, that's what they do. They come to church, they hear the preaching, they go home. Nobody knows them. They don't know anybody. They don't do anything because church is not the – and I just fear that what's happened across our country during these weeks is a lot of those people have found out they can get takeout.
Yeah.
They don't have to go to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And they don't have to tip the waitress. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when the doors are open again.
Sure. Hopefully that's coming soon. But now, as we wrap it up, how can men like myself, and we have other men in the church that do a lot online, far more than I do, but how can men like myself that desire to have a helpful online presence make certain we do so without stepping outside the bounds of the authority of our local church?
Well, the first thing I would say is you don't establish any ministry without the approval of church leadership. I wouldn't, within that ministry, I wouldn't preach or teach anything that wouldn't be approved by church leadership.
Right.
That's not the church trying to control you. That's you not causing division and,
sure,
and strife within the church. And I think it's important that myself, all the way through everybody in the congregation, that internet ministry is not a substitute for what God told us to do in the Bible.
Right.
Giving the gospel on a cassette tape or giving the gospel on a whatever you call it, a social media page, is not witnessing.
Right.
If there's nobody there, you're not witnessing. If you're not talking to anybody, you're not witnessing. So
sure.
It is, well, I don't have to witness today. I posted something on Facebook.
Sure. Yeah. People think that way.
I'm glad you posted something on Facebook about the Lord, but you didn't witness to anybody.
Right.
That that you didn't give somebody the gospel. Now, if you can type back and forth to somebody in Afghanistan and he says, what must I do to be saved? And you know what I'm saying? I'm not. And so in the same way that watching a preacher online is not a substitute for going to church, I don't think recording something and uploading it is a substitute for witnessing to people.
Right.
I mean, maybe somebody's going to invent one day virtual missionary work.
I'm sure it's
where you just you. I mean, we. So, but I don't think that's it. So the positives. Here's the positives. I can go online. I did it last night. I watched two of my favorite pastors, different time zones. I watched their church services
mm-hmm.
on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Amen.
Last Sunday, I watched the church service in Australia. It was Monday there. No, I tell you, it was Saturday here. It was Sunday there. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled that we can preach a sermon here, we can put it on the internet, and anybody in the whole wide world can watch it. That's great. I also think it's a blessing that because of the way we teach the Bible, we can make available to lots and lots of people different truths about the Bible they're never going to get if we don't put it out there. I'm not saying we're right and everybody else is wrong. I'm just saying we try to cover everything.
Sure.
And most pastors are not going to do that.
Right.
They've got different, you know, different points of emphasis, different calling and things. So, for example, Jeff, this month he posted the sermon that we preached on when Chris and Nicole's little baby died.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And we taught through the Bible on what the Bible says about the death of a little child.
Right.
Well, isn't it great that everybody in the world can, if they're searching for loss of a child, I can tell them what the Bible says. I don't know if else preached on that or put that on online. You know, when she got her wings and, you know, she's in heaven riding a rainbow pony and all that. I mean, here's the Bible. You know, here's what the Bible says. So I'm really thrilled that we can do that. I don't mean to be 100% negative. I think it's great.
Sure.
I've just so that's a blessing. It really helps that you have genuine statistics that, wow, there they are. This many people are listening. This many people watched. I like that. That's encouraging. You don't get that with radio.
Right.
But I do have to give you one more negative because I almost forgot about it.
Go for it.
In a country like ours, up until recently, I can preach anything I want in this church and our doors stay open. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
On the radio, I can preach anything I want. And if that station manager objects, he can remove me from that radio station. He can't remove me from the radio.
Right.
Brother, everything we've got on YouTube, one man can make it all disappear tomorrow.
Right.
That's not good.
Sure.
That's not good. So you have recourse to protect your church.
Right.
You have recourse to protect the biblical outreach ministries of your church. You have no guarantee you're going to have an internet ministry next week.
Right.
You preach one thing, you say one thing that one of the lords of the, you know, the gods of this world doesn't like, and those principalities and powers can take you down.
Sure.
So if guys think internet ministry is going to replace what is going to be the same as what books were, cassettes were, CDs were, they're not. Cause a very, very few people have total control over everything you got on that internet.
Right. Yeah. So, well, the idea of cancel culture, which is a big thing right now.
That was one of the terms I was going to ask you about.
Yeah. Well, cancel culture is defined basically, or in essence, what it is postmodernism, humanism, Marxism, communism, socialism. They have essentially teamed up and they have organized groups that go online or that search throughout the United States and maybe even the world, I'm sure at this point. And they look for any dissenting opinion. If you don't agree with their stance on communism or on homosexuality or on abortion or whatever the case may be, they organize together and they attack you with the purpose of ruining your name, your life, your character, your business. It doesn't matter. They'll go as far as they need to go to harm you. It's on a small scale. We saw it here in DeLand when we were out on the street and all those people organized against our street preaching.
Right.
But that's a very small scale locally here. And what you're talking about and what I'm referring to in cancel culture is it'll spread across the web. They have systems established to make sure it spreads like wildfire.
Okay.
And it's all meant to harm you. And that's what you're referring to, is this ability that for the wrong person to get a hold of it.
So I guess what I'm saying to all of our guys that are using the internet to get the word of God out, that you can't count on this being a permanent means of spreading the word. If you're going to do it, you got to do it now.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to do. Just get as much out there as we can. But the more content you put up, the more of a target you become. So the Bible says, unto the pure, all things are pure.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says nothing is unclean of itself. I probably quote that one wrong, but think that's the general idea there.
Sure.
So a piano is not going to play jazz music ever.
Right.
Somebody's heart and skill will use that piano to play a godly song or an ungodly song.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the piano, it's the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it might be, a car. You can use a car to go to work. You can use a car to run somebody over and kill them. It's not the car.
Which terrorists do.
Yes, yes. It's not the car. So the internet in and of itself,
right,
is, it's just a thing. It doesn't have any life yet of its own, and it can't do anything yet.
It's coming to
its own. But so the problem with the pornography on the internet is not the pornography on the internet. It's the heart,
right,
of the person who has the phone or the computer.
Sure.
It is funny to me how these guys I knew in the day who were deaf on anybody owning a TV and death on anybody going to the movies are all day long watching videos on the internet.
Yeah.
So this idea that it won't ever get a hold of me, I don't think it's valid.
Right.
It's got a hold of pretty much everybody,
yeah,
in the world. So I'll give you the testimony of one preacher and just, you can do what you want with it. But a pastor friend of mine back 30 years ago now, however long ago it's been, went to the store, bought the big old computer and the big box that sits under the desk,
right,
set it all up in his office. They taught him how to work it. He learned how to do email, and it's really great. He said he had it for about 3 weeks, and he was sitting there one night in his office, and he said the thought came into his heart, you know, you can look at naked women on that computer. He unplugged it. He went in the house and apologized to his wife.
Wow.
And the next day he took it back to the store and he said, you can give me my money back or not. I can't have this thing in my house.
Wow.
Now, it's not the computer.
Sure.
It's not the internet.
Sure.
It's the heart. So I would say to anybody, if you can't control you, you can't control the internet.
Right.
And if you are out of control, you need to get rid of your computer. I have to have one for work. Get another job.
Right. Right.
just be like anything else.
Right.
If you're prone to drink, if you're prone to look at pornography, you can't have a computer in your house. It's just too easy.
The first ever highly publicized internet concern was the explosion of pornography. It's not only problematic from a biblical perspective, but the fruit it has borne is devastating. Every second, an estimated 28,000 people are watching pornography in some form online. Every second, more than $3,075 is being spent on pornography online. Every day, there are an estimated 38 million porn-related searches, which makes up 25% of all searches online. 35% of all internet downloads are porn-related. More than 47% of American families report pornography has disrupted their home in some way. Pornography increases infidelity in marriage by an estimated 300%. I don't believe I can name any other advancement, such as the internet, that comes with such potential for greatness, but also comes with serious potential for danger. How do you as a pastor help your people navigate such minefields? What instruction do you give them? Should we just continue to dabble online as though it's okay and there are no dangers or no harms to be aware of? While I hesitate to end on that note, I do hope this conversation is sobering for God's people. The internet should not be your only means of Bible interaction. And for that matter, this is a personal opinion, but it grieves me to see a pastor
or a missionary walk into a pulpit with no Bible in their hand, but a digital device, an electronic device. Again, it's my opinion, but that is not a sufficient substitute. There's something about a man that believes God walking into that pulpit with a Bible in his hand that makes a statement to everyone watching. They're about to hear preaching from the Word of God. Now, of course, currently we're faced with a pandemic, but we have the responsibility to assemble ourselves together with like-minded believers. Personal interaction with God's people through fellowship is an essential aspect of the Christian life, one we are desperately missing in our current distress. The internet is a wonderful tool, but it comes with serious potential dangers. Furthermore, it is not a suitable replacement for real-world interaction. The world has changed greatly since the days of radio preaching. Some of the changes have been beneficial and others have been detrimental. Yet I have noticed lives that are built upon real physical relationships with real people, people that you see in person on a regular basis, those lives are the strongest. Lives built in virtual reality tend to shatter easily. So as you listen to this online, pass it on to your friends. Don't venture into areas of the internet you should not be in. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can learn more about our ministry by visiting www.plenteousredemption.com. You can hear more Plenteous Redemption podcast audio at www.plenteousredemption.media. Please comment below if this podcast has been a help to you. Also, inform us of future topics that would interest you. Thank you again for listening to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast.